All right, we interrupt normal programming to bring you KTWH's weekly checkup with Greg Ruberg, the CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital. I'm Katya Gordon calling Greg this morning, and I believe, Greg, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, well, here we are. It's middle of August, and we have a couple things on the docket today. Let's start by talking about the influenza vaccine that just came out recently, and there's been some talk about that. What can you share with us?
Yeah, I think that going into this fall, it's going to be probably more important than ever that our employees, our patients, and our community get vaccinated for influenza. And I've been reading now that there should be plenty of doses to cover everybody that wants an influenza vaccine. And I think it's going to be, again, more important that than ever that we get this as we enter probably a period of increasing COVID as well as influenza and other illnesses.
All right. Pretty straight up.
Yeah. You know, I think that the challenge we're going to have, and we're seeing this already now, is that the number of people that we're testing, and again, it's middle of August. You just never expect to be testing this many people for respiratory symptoms or illness or all the other COVID-related symptoms. But a lot of those are coming back. The majority, vast majority, are coming back still as negative, which is great news. But it makes me think when we get into October, November, December, and even into the winter months, if we have this much stuff going on in August, what's the winter going to look like? And I think there's a couple of things that are important on this. Is number one, from a healthcare provider standpoint, is we want as many people vaccinated for influenza as we can so we don't have to care for them in the hospital or repeat clinic visits, because we want that space and those resources allocated to treating COVID if we need it. So it's hard to know what's going to happen, but we know there's solid science behind the influenza vaccine, and that's something that, you know, we advocate for all of our employees here, and some health systems have made it a mandatory requirement. You either vaccinated or you don't work there. And there's a few exceptions to that, but I think we're going to see more of that across the country this year as we go into a challenging season. The other piece of vaccination, and this one's, I think, more difficult, and there's just much more to learn, but we keep hearing about a COVID-19 vaccine, and, you know, you hear that Russia has one now, and the president's daughter received it, but I think realistically, probably for the average American, we're not going to see a COVID vaccine being distributed until at least quarter one, maybe quarter two of 2021, just because there's a lot of logistics that have to be worked out. I do think maybe healthcare workers and some high-risk individuals might see it by the end of 2020, but it's really hard to know.
All right. Yeah, I was maybe going to ask you that on the side of the whole Russian question, but you answered it already.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the questions that I've gotten on this one, and I'm certainly not an expert in vaccines by any means, but, you know, we talk about we're in some phase 3 trials in the U.S., and it all goes back to, you know, is it safety of the vaccine, and does it work? And so those trials are important. In phase 2, you're talking hundreds of people have had it in you know, controlled studies, but phase 3, it goes into the thousands. So it's really hard to know information coming out of Russia. Is it accurate? Again, I think we want to make sure for the general population, though, in the U.S. to get it has to be FDA approved, and that just takes time, and there's a process, which has been expedited now.
Yeah. So you might not know this either, but it just suddenly made me wonder the question, are vaccines worldwide phenomenon, or are they always national? Like, do we always have only our own vaccines, or do we share vaccines across countries in general?
You know, I don't know that I know the answer to that. I know, like, when we look at our drug companies here, they're creating for influenza a vaccine that will cover all Americans. And so when we see about, you know, kind of what is the supply that we can get and how do we distribute those, that's a U.S. Type of thing. But I would bet they'd be shared across countries. And I think when we talk about COVID, I think that might change the game, though. If somebody comes up with a safe and appropriate COVID vaccine, I would think that's going to be a global type of movement. But again, politics enter the equation, and one never knows.
All right, let's move on to PPE masks, and I think you might have a story to tell us about that.
Yeah, the one thing I find interesting is what, you know, myself, like everybody else, when COVID first hit the U.S., I think back to March, and you know, how we were supposed to leave Amazon packages out on the steps for a couple of days in the sun to kill the virus, and we're supposed to wipe down all of our groceries and all of those things. We've learned a lot, I think, in the last 5 months, and there's still much more to learn. But one of the things that, you know, I thought about was if you come in contact with somebody that has COVID, there's a very high likelihood you're going to get COVID. That was my kind of thought process, and I think most people's thought processes back in March. And now what we're seeing, and I think this is some really good news, is we're seeing more and more people that we're testing that come back as positive, and they say, you know, I was, other people have been exposed to them, and those people are not automatically coming down with COVID. So, you know, when we talk about transmission and ease of infecting other people, it appears that if you wear a mask, you maintain the distance, you use hand sanitizer, you're not sharing food at potlucks, I mean, all of those kind of things, you can be exposed to somebody in fairly close contact and not come down with COVID yourself. Again, that's not a false sense of security, but it shows that some of our best practices and universal precautions do work if they're followed appropriately.
Mm.
There have also been cases where people have been COVID positive and have been exposed to other people, and they have not come down as positive. So I think, again, it's certainly contagious, very contagious, you know, as compared to the common cold or influenza, but maybe not quite to the extent that people feared initially, where if you walked by somebody outside 10 feet away, you would get it.
Yeah, so that is, I was going to say, that's great news for just doing the small things, isn't it?
It is. It reinforces that you can do some common sense measures and follow some of those guidelines. The other report I read this week, which I think, again, this is one report, and it's, again, there's a lot more that has to follow, but, you know, this whole idea that 6 feet is the safe distance, there was a recent study that came out and said, no, it's 16 feet. And so, again, I think it's just we keep hearing more and more information, whether accurate or not, that's changing the way that we respond to this. But, again, 6 feet right now is still the recommendation.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to some local information about the new building, which has been looking more and more finished every week. And what do you want to tell us about the transition to using that building or how that's going to work in the world we live in today?
Yeah, when we designed this building, we started planning and designing about 2 years ago, and we never once thought about a pandemic. You know, that's the first thing I will note. But a couple of things we got lucky on, and a couple other things I think we can adapt fairly well. So, for example, our goal back in, you know, 2 years ago was to create really one main entry point for all of Lakeview. So from a safety and security standpoint, from a patient wayfinding standpoint, support for our patients and families, we created the main entrance. And so all patients coming for primary care, specialty care, lab, rehab, fitness center, et cetera, will come in through our main entrance. We have parking close by. We've got a nice public space. The other entrance that we will continue to utilize is our ER entrance, of course, for emergencies, ambulance, urgent care. So really there'll be two main entry points for the public, the main entrance in the new building, the emergency room and urgent care entrance. What we're going to do in that main entrance, which is, you know, again, will be different or in response to COVID, is there's a vestibule inside when you first walk in the first set of doors. That will have some benches in it, have wheelchairs, those kind of things. We are actually going to set up a permanent COVID screening station there. So we'll have an employee there screening individuals as they come in the first step in the door. So they'll get the questionnaire about COVID symptoms. They'll get an active temperature screen done. They'll be given a mask if they don't have one. We can also provide other education for them around COVID and wayfinding. But again, every single person that comes in the door will be screened. They'll be given the mask. And again, that will help us really meet those expectations or guidelines from CDC and MDH. The same process will happen on the ED side with our staff there. So, and then our employees will be a separate process. But again, every single employee will have the same screening and questionnaire done as well, again, to protect patients and staff.
All right. So it sounds like you are thinking ahead and making a plan that hopefully will be sustained for whatever long haul it needs to be sustained for.
Yes, we expect this probably it'll be all the way through the winter of 2021 for sure. And then when we get to that point of vaccine and some other, hopefully some other positive developments, we hopefully will not need that in the future. But at this point, it will be in place, and we're confident we can staff that well and it will work well.
All right. Great. Well, maybe that wraps it up. And Greg, anything else? I know that, just as an aside, you are not only a director of a hospital, but a parent, and a lot of stuff has come out with the school this week that could potentially affect the hospital. So you're wearing many hats. Yeah, I don't know if you have any comments about that, but...
Maybe only two comments on that. Number one, as a parent, my wife and I are watching closely, and we'll work with the school on that. My bigger concern, though, is the impact on Lakeview and all of our employees here. And so we have, 145 employees here, and they have kids of all different ages and probably in three or four different school districts. And so the challenge for us is how can we support our employees to support the models that their individual school is going to have. Some we know are more in person, some are hybrid, some are all online. And again, there are unique challenges between districts, and we employ people, and we have to support our employees, because if they have young kids at home, different than my youngest is 13, but if they've got 6 and 8 year olds at home, it's going to be a much different challenge for them than it will be for me and my family.
Right. So you're watching as well as participating, just like the rest of us.
We've got contingency plans in place, and we're modifying and revising as new information comes out, and that's certainly a daily or weekly process for us.
Yep. Great. Well, thank you so much, Greg, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. That was Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital.